is God. Tell you, if you can't preach after that, something bad wrong. Wow, that was good. I always enjoy coming here for many reasons, and one of the reasons is the quality of the music. There are some places we go that we don't normally get invited back after some of the things I say. But I remember being in one place one night, and it was the special was so worldly. Before I went to the pulpit, Miss Maynard was patting me on the shoulder. "It'll be all right, honey. Just settle down. Just settle down. I like good quality music. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tonight. Let's go ahead. We got a lot of ground to cover tonight. And I'm glad to. I've had a good time. We notice in our chapter divisions that the thoughts continue. Last night we noticed in chapter 3 that the chapter starts with the word wherefore, as the Bible translators divided it into sections. And then in chapter 4 we see furthermore. In other words, the thoughts are continuing. Last night we looked at the subject of trials in chapter number 3. And there was a real thought that came into my mind today as we look at chapter 4 tonight and we see the subject of temptation. Chapter 4 has to do with temptation. I wonder how many times along the way has the devil tried to use our trials and turn them into temptation. All of a sudden we're not basking on the mountain with the glory and the presence of the Lord, and we're sainting down in the valley and we're going through the trials of life, if there's not a time during that trial to possibly be tempted to quit God or to be tempted to do something that's contrary to God. We won't take time tonight to turn, but I want to invite you to go home tonight to link up with chapter 4 and look at James chapter 1. Where he talks about temptation. There's four elements of the chapter, just to give you. There's the endurance of temptation. There's the elevation that God gives us to overcome temptation. There is the elements of temptation. And there's every man temptation in James chapter 1. Here's the book of the Bible that he speaks so much about the second coming of Christ, as we've already exhorted our hearts in every chapter. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, before we go to the sweet by and by, we got to live in the nasty now. We've got to learn to deal with the trials. We've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and not look at the trials in the negative fashion that would cause us to yield to temptation. I don't know how many preachers that I've seen to be strong in the Lord, but all of a sudden they go through a trial. And instead of letting the trial make them better, it makes them bitter. And the bitterness is a yielding to that temptation of doubting God. I won't ask for a show of hands who all's ever been there, because every hand in the building should go up. But we're not preaching to the choir. Unless everybody wants to get up to choir tonight. Amen. Temptation. By definition, the solicitation of evil to follow evil. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Can I say, first of all, tonight as we... And somebody come to me last night and said, I'm enjoying the word-by-word study. I enjoy it too. There's so much we can skip over if we're not careful. First of all, temptation concerning our walk. Exhorted by the Lord Jesus through the Apostle Paul that we ought to walk and to please God. Verse number 1. Again, furthermore, then we beseech you. Have we seen that word before in other places? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word beseech is such a word of agony and begging, found several times in the Word of God concerning our walk. Now, if we walk with God, that means that we're living our life, giving our activity to God. I want to read this again. That as ye have received of us, middle part of verse 1, how ye received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. What wording tonight? The word walk has to do with our activity for God. The word please has to do with our agreement with God. Let's not walk ahead of Him. Let's not walk behind Him. Let's not walk to the distance beside of Him. Let's walk with Him. Let's not be like a little grandchild is, like ours are. You're at a place where you just can't let them run and play, and all of a sudden you take them by the hand because you don't want them to stray away. Listen, God has a desire for us that we ought to walk so close to Him that we can feel His touch and hear His voice and even smell His breath, amen, of a free, sweet fragrance. Oh, God, help us. Oh, what fellowship. Oh, what joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms of God. It's exhorted concerning our walk, our activity. The word please has to do with our agreement. But putting both of these together has to do with our abounding in greater degrees trusting God. I want to read it again because I believe it's powerful. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. I saw one preacher one night in the word exhort say this, look up in here and listen to what I got to say, because I've got something to say. It concerns our walk. Number two tonight, I want you to notice this. In this chapter of temptation, it not only concerns our walk, but number two, it has something to do with concerning the Word of God. Chapter number 4, verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Verses 3 and 4. Concerning the will of God. That phrase is used in verse number 3. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Concerning the Word of God. God does not lead us to do anything that's contrary to the Word of God. It used to be a day that people would consume themselves with the Bible, consume themselves with the precepts of the Word of God. People would read the Bible. People would study the Bible. People would meditate on the Bible. People would even be willing to die by the Bible. I've been reading a book, it's a book in days gone by about the Billy Sunday revivals. and how the revival teams would come in, and those revival teams would exhort the people about the subject of prayer and the Bible, the Word of God. Some folks have got the idea, well, I'll just get what I can from the preacher on Sunday morning. And don't get me wrong now, you ought to be in church on Sunday morning for Sunday school. I got one right out of that. How about the rest of you? Preaching service. Cut Bonanza off and come back on Sunday night, amen. I mean, why am I telling you you're here tonight at revival meeting? Anytime there's an opportunity for the Word of God, this Bible will keep me from sin. Or again, sin will keep us from the Bible. Verse 2 again, the word commandments. What a word, just a simple word. This is God's charge. This is God's mandate. This is not God's suggestions. It's not anything else but His plans and His determinations for our lives. He does give us the choice to follow what thus saith the Lord, or follow what thus saith the flesh. No man, God help us tonight, no man can serve two masters. We give you my heart tonight. When there has been times that when Brother Maynard has yielded to the temptations of this life, now don't take that and run out the door and start a rumor tonight. There's not a soul in the building tonight that doesn't have a weakness. Has some besetting sin. Some area that the devil tries to get every one of us at. And there's even times that the devil would even lie to every one of us saying, well, that ain't nothing. Won't nobody find out about that? I can hide that. I can still feel I can be used to God and do that. And some of that could be true to a point. But the conviction I have in my soul is that God cannot use me like He would like to. If I've got elements in my life and I am yielding to the weaknesses that I have. It's a happy day in every one of our lives when we recognize the fact that there are elements in our flesh that the devil tries to mess with. Instead of being surprised. Oh, that couldn't happen to me. You know, there's two things when we're willing to be honest with God. Listen to me now by the Word of God. Number one, the only way we can get help for ourselves is to be completely honest with ourselves. And then number two, the only way that we can ever help anyone else is to be honest with ourselves, be honest with God, and use the grace of God to help our weaknesses to run from them. And then when we see others going through the same thing, tell them how the same God that delivered us and is helping us, that the same God can help them too. The Bible will keep us from sin. Or sin will keep us from the Bible. You'll see in chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Word of God is given by the Lord Jesus through Paul again. And the word commandments is used. Don't mean to repeat myself, but it is a charge. It is a mandate. It is not a suggestion. So there's temptation concerning our walk. There's temptation concerning the Word of God. And there's temptation concerning the will of God, verse 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God's process of setting us apart for Him. That word sanctification is a simple definition. It just means purification. But verse 4 says that every one of you should know, be fully aware of how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. There's the second time right there in that chapter you find the word sanctification. Purification. I like this word possess right here. It says, by the grace of God, I don't live a life out of control. I live a life of control, my own body, soul, and spirit. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. Lord, I want you to control every part of my life. Could I just give a personal testimony? And I don't believe my wife will mind this. The only way that our boy could become free from drug addiction is to yield his whole body, soul, and spirit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in his life each and every day to live a clean, victorious life. And I'm not picking on him, because there's not a soul in the building tonight that's any different. Oh, I don't believe he said that about me. Well, the Lord wants to help Pharisees too. Abstain. The word abstain is used in these verses right here in verse number 3, that you should abstain from fornication. It means to refrain from, to hold oneself off. Yes, sanctification, to possess, taking control of our life. Doing what in the verses right here? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Oh, being honorable in the sight of God. Being honorable in the sight of man. Having a peace that passeth all understanding down in the gable end of our soul, and a peace that only God can give, and a joy that, Lord, you're helping me to overcome these things. And Lord, it pleases and gives me joy in my heart that I bring honor to your name. Kind of like one time, Sister Maynard, when report cards came out and one of our sons got very good grades. That probably was a rarity. But he got really good grades, and he come home. I'm telling you, he couldn't wait to show Mama and Daddy his report card. Have you ever stopped and thought that God is watching our lives? He knows our every thought. You say, well, now some of these things nobody knows about because I do them alone. You and I that are saved tonight, we are never alone. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Honor. So I ask myself this question tonight. I ask myself this question. And it's a good question to ask ourselves, each one of us. Is my life being elevated by my walk with God? Or is my life being deflated by my wickedness against God? I want to say that again. Is my life being elevated by my walk with God? Or is my life being deflated by my wickedness against God?
You see in verse number 3 right here, these sins that are being talked about, verses 3 and 4, these are spiritualness sins. Spiritualness sins. They are social sins. The word fornication is used. So it's sexual sins. Sins of the flesh and sins of our associations and sins of the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. We need to not yield to temptation. We need to yield ourselves completely to the Lord. So when temptation comes, we can have victory. Where do we run when we are tempted? When Jesus was tempted 3 times, He used the Word of God to defeat the devil. Verse number 5, that word lust, fleshly passion that takes away. Verse number 5, the lust of concupiscence, forbidden lust and desires. Forbidden lust and desires. Temptation concerning our walk. Temptation concerning the Word of God. Temptation concerning the will of God. The will of God spiritually, physically, and socially. Look at verse number 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have all have forewarned you and testified. Temptation to sin is not only what we face personally, but it's also what we face socially. Do you see it there? Mistreating one another is a sin against God. The word defraud is used here to use someone else for their own selfish gain. Even in verse number 6, the word to go beyond. Oliver Green's commentary says that means to take advantage of someone, not treating them fairly. And then the word matter is used right here. That's a 6-letter word that we probably wouldn't take a lot of attention to. But in the verse here, it's referring to any association. I wrote in my notes here, any church matter, any social matter, any business matter, any school matter, any neighborhood matter. Listen, we don't want to sin against God in these areas. It's not God's will we mistreat people. The same life that we want to convey on the church property is the same life that we ought to live, young people, on the school property. Even if you're homeschooled. The same way that we come to this house is the same way we are to live at every house. Called being a hypocrite. We don't need to be yielded to temptation. The Bible says here in verse 6 that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Verse 7 again, for God had not called us unto uncleanness, but into holiness. Uncleanness is referring to impurities. Holiness is living a life of sanctification and purity, being set apart. But now here's something that we need to notice also. Verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. When we mistreat man, we've mistreated one of God's children. And thusly have mistreated God. So it is important how we treat one another, isn't it? When I read books of yesteryear, men of God that are in the building tonight, and sit down with the older generation
And I'm fastly getting there. And I asked them about the days of yesteryear. And then I asked them, Pastor, what's the difference of then and now? Why did God breathe on churches and breathe on people? I mean, I've heard him testify. Bree, I've heard your grandpa testify at the church of many years ago that he was a member of. Won't give the name. Bree knows what I'm talking about. He would testify to this young preacher about how people would not only get a hunger for revival, but they would confess their sins before God. And the Spirit of God would convict their hearts that they also needed to confess their sins one to another of those that they had sinned against. Is that not what this chapter is talking about? So temptation tonight concerns our walk, the Word of God, the will of God. And beginning in verse 6 through 8, now it's concerning the ways of God's people. Now so far in the chapter, everything's been negative. And probably some of you right now are going, it's got to get better. It does. Look at verse 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. A fraternal affection, a kindness, a proper spiritual, social love one to another. A love that shows no favoritism in verse number 10. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Impartiality. Oh boy. I hope this ain't my last night. The church doesn't need cliques. The church doesn't need cliques. I learned to listen to Kildebrand. Amen. It doesn't need division. If there's division in your heart tonight, it can be solved at the altar. How can division be healed in the church? Death to self. Don't develop the attitude that it's your church or it's your family's church. It's never been done that way before. It's binding together as a body of believers and die to self and recognizing that it's His church. Verse 9 and 10 again, indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. Verse 11, in this loving one another, we mind our own business. We don't become busybodies in everybody else's affairs. That you study to be quiet and do your own business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. He not only refers here in these verses about working, but also walking. We walk honestly in verse number 12 that you walk
honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Living with honor, living with honesty, living with discretion, living decently, living with gravity, living respectfully toward everyone in the church and everyone outside of the church. What a chapter. What a chapter. And again, please, and I'm coming in for a landing. You said, boy, you're quitting early tonight. I'm quitting when the Lord wants me to quit. Temptation. Temptation that we have to deal with ourselves. But temptation also in the chapter that has to do with others, and a temptation that affects others. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Pastor's coming. We'll have the invitation tonight. Ladies, thank you for your faithfulness. Pastor's coming with the invitation tonight. First of all, if you're here tonight, you've never been saved. Please, tonight, don't walk out the doors without Christ. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands tonight, but as you search your heart tonight, I search my heart tonight. Brother Maynard, there's some things in my life that I know is not pleasing to the Lord. I struggle with it. It's a stronghold. It's a temptation. It is a seduction of Satan not to be what God wants me to be. And by the way, I've had to learn this. Even if you have any doubt about it, usually it's wrong. And the only way tonight that we can be right is to search our own heart toward ourselves. And then tonight, we see again, ladies and gentlemen, in the chapter, not trying to be repetitions, how this temptation not only has to do with ourselves, but it has to do with our treatment of others. Dear Lord, tonight, help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, Pastor, you come.